Welcome into the Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Rogers. Joining me this hour is County Assessor Steve Schleicher. A lot to talk about when it comes to the Assessor's Office. Maybe a lot that you may not realize about the Assessor's Office or the fact that we have an Assessor's Office. So, Steve, thank you so much for joining us this hour on KRDO News Radio.
Absolutely, Andrew. Thanks for inviting me and having me here.
Absolutely. Let's start off with just some of the basics. What is the role of the County Assessor's Office?
You know, it basically, it's very simple, except for being the assessor in the largest and most populous county, is to discover, list, classify, and value all taxable and exempt property. So when you sit there and you look at that, you know, what is considered taxable and exempt in defining real property is all residential, multifamily, single family, vacant land, and every business within El Paso County.
Yeah, and it's definitely not just a every couple year type job, because I know we tend to only hear about the assessor's office when the, you know, assessments come out, those every other year kind of revaluations. But really, there's something going on in your office 24/7 every day going on when it comes to the properties, because as you mentioned, it's the largest county here. We've got a lot of growth going on in the county as well, and that's obviously being seen day in, day out at the assessor's office.
You know, absolutely. It is a 24/7 operation. You know, the numbers in regards to the number of homes being built changes daily, the number of commercial buildings. You know, those of us that have lived here in El Paso County for quite some time have seen significant changes, and we're seeing it daily where we're seeing, you know, a lot of growth down south in Fountain, out east in Falcon, and up in Monument, where you sit there and you go Northgate, what's happening off of Voyager, InterQuest, you know, and also off of Briargate, just a lot of growth. A lot of people are moving here.
Yeah, it's a lot of growth. We've seen just kind of an explosion in interest, and that's been a good thing, but it's also really driven up a lot of the property values as well. Obviously, you know, we've seen that on the retail side, but we're seeing that as well as you're having to kind of evaluate and assess properties.
Definitely. You know, we are seeing increases in values on properties. And keep in mind, your assessor's office does not determine the market value of a home. That is determined by a willing buyer and a willing seller. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how you go about, and in accordance with our Tabor Amendment, which was voted back in 1992 by the Colorado voters, is you can only use the sales market comparison approach to value single family and multifamily residential properties. So you have to use the sales. The concern I have is over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, we have seen a number of sales, quite a few sales, where folks are getting into a bidding war. And, you know, they're sitting there and they're bidding $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 above asking price just to get into a home. The concern I have on that is the value that's being put on the warranty deed, but that value is completely different than what the house appraised for. So is that the true market value of the home? So I'm going to be working with some, you know, house district representatives to redefine that, because people are actually paying taxes on their bid, which is not the actual value of the home. So I want to try to clean that up.
Yeah, and when we're talking about this, obviously, you know, you mentioned the market kind of dictating those sales prices at retail, but when it comes to the property assessment, you know, what's the kind of difference, you know, kind of in layman's terms between, you know, the property value, the assessed value versus, say, the market value and what we're seeing these crazy bidding wars come from?
Andrew, that is a great question. Is we, as you know, taxpayers in the state of Colorado, we do not pay taxes on the market value of a home. We pay it on the assessed value. So your assessment rate is extremely important. And so what happened several years ago is the voters basically voted out our Gallagher Amendment, which mm-hmm. was voted in 1982. So now it's up to the state legislature to determine what our assessment rates are going to be. So for tax year 2021 for single family residential property, is the assessment rate is 7.15%, and for commercial property, it's 29%. Those folks are paying quadruple the amount of taxes than single family. So basically what you do is you take the assessor's market value, multiply it by the assessment rate to get your assessed value. It is your assessed value that is multiplied by the mill levy to get your estimated taxes.
Yeah, so it's a lot of math, a lot of, you know, a lot of ABC, a lot of, you know, jumbled up terms that a lot of people aren't necessarily used to, but definitely important. And we're going to break down really what all this means, how that really, you know, can impact us as we continue to see such record growth here in El Paso County. Joined by County Assessor Steve Schleicher this entire hour right here on KRDO's The Extra. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers, joined by Steve Schleicher, the county assessor. You know, we talked a little bit, kind of that overview, the high-level office, kind of what you do, how you do it at the office. But let's dig into when it comes to assessing properties, finding that property value on the, you know, taxable side. How does that process work?
Well, Andrew, you know, one thing I forgot to share with you is, you know, the four main components of the assessor when you discover, list, classify, and value is in this market, and also with El Paso County being the number one market in the nation, is me being under the desk in a fetal position.
Yeah.
So, but I will share with you is how you go about doing mass appraisal. And that is a question that comes up a lot with some of our property owners. And what it is you actually go down into a neighborhood subdivision level, mm-hmm. and you look at the sales that occurred within a specific time frame. And by Colorado law, you have to use sales within a 24-month time frame. So, for example, for our 2021 reappraisal, by law, we had to use sales that occurred from July 1 of 2018 through June 30th of 2020. So you're looking at historic data, which is already very confusing to property owners when they get their May 1st notice of value on in 2021. So we are using historic data and we're not at current market value. But you know what we do is we derive the sales out of a neighborhood, out of a subdivision, mm-hmm. and we compare properties because you cannot compare a 3-bedroom, 2-bath buy level to a 3-bedroom, 2-bath rancher. They're completely different properties. They have different values. So we basically pull comparables and just look at comparables of how many baths do they have, how many bedrooms do they have, total square footage. What's the lot square footage? Is there a corner lot? Is there just an interior lot? So we look at all the different variables in regards to that and value the property fairly and equitably.
Yeah, and when you're talking about it, you know, looking at the assessor's website, you've got a great search tool where you can look at your property, you can kind of see this full breakdown, all the different information, your mill levies, things like that. But when it comes to, you know, talking about land and improvement values, let's talk about some of those and how those are defined, and especially also seeing, you know, you have what's called a market value versus the assessed value, what all that means.
Absolutely. And one of the things, Andrew, I changed the assessor's website in my first term as county assessor. And the reason I did it, one, it was to meet ADA standards. And the other one was transparency. Get as much information out there. And currently, the assessor's website gets 49 million hits a year. But there are a lot of different terms on there. When you're looking at the difference in market value and assessed value, that's where we go back to the assessment rates that are set by our state legislature.
Yeah.
And it's also broken down in regards to land and improvements. A lot of folks just only really care about what their total value is, but we value the land and we value the improvement separately and put those two together. Because some folks will sit there and say, Steve, my value I appeal the value. I don't agree with your value because I am having landslide issues. So we would look at what the land value would be and make adjustments to the land value. Or somebody will have hail damage, and we've had our fair share of hailstorms, and there's a lot of repairs that they need to do. So that's called cost of cure to bring it up to current market. And so that's where you make a change to the improvement value. But overall, it affects the total value of the property. So we separate land and improvement.
Yeah, and when you're talking about, you know, seeing this market value, that does, as you mentioned in the first segment, that's not what, you know, say I go on your website, put in my address, seeing the market value you have listed here, that's not necessarily what I could go on and put my house on the market for, because that's still wildly different. So when it comes to that market value versus, you know, the sales market, what's the difference between those two?
That, Andrew, that is a great question. There is a major difference between mass appraisal and fee appraisal. Keep in mind, mass appraisal, what your county assessor does, is for ad valorem taxation purposes. Your fee appraiser comes out and they use current market sales. They can only go 6 months back. So you're looking at current data. And remember, as I mentioned, we have a 24-month study period. So I'm using data that is a year and a half, two and a half years old. But there is a major difference, and you're right, is when you look at the assessor's value, that is not current market. Where this can hurt an assessor's office is, let's go back to 2008, 9, and 10 when we had the recession, and there was more foreclosures in some neighborhoods than there was arm's length transactions. Because we use historical values, we were actually sending out notices of value showing increases when those neighborhoods currently were going through major foreclosures.
Yeah, and as you mentioned too, your data is up until, what, July of 2020. So what we're seeing now is maybe just the tip of the iceberg. I know a lot of people have been, getting on the phone trying to call, appeal that assessment, seeing, man, these rates are going up, making my taxes go up, but we're in for another round because that was just kind of the start of when this bottle rocket went off.
And absolutely. When you're sitting there seeing double-digit increases in neighborhoods, and some of the largest hit neighborhoods are the neighborhoods south of Platt Avenue, east of I-25, East Burrell, South Burrell, Security, Whitefield, Fountain, the hottest zip code in the entire nation, the two hottest zip codes, is 80916 and 80911. And it's because of affordability. There are a lot of transactions going on down there. But, this is where folks are also getting into bidding wars. But I will share with you, there's some good news on the horizon.
Okay.
One is, for next year, the residential assessment rate for single-family residential properties is dropping from 7.15% down to 6.9%, which means that's going to reduce your assessed value, which means you could possibly also be looking at paying less taxes. Mill levies have been reduced as well for most taxing entities because of the excess Tabor revenue limit. And of course, El Paso County, we're still bound by Tabor, which means you cannot collect money above your revenue limit. And so what happens is those entities have to go to the voters asking, do you want us to refund this or do you want us to keep it? And what happens is they have to ratchet down their mill levy, so that reduces our taxes as well.
Yeah, and it's definitely something that, we've seen, such growth. And I know that's probably something you get asked often is, can this level of growth, can this kind of bell curve that we've been on, is it really sustainable or is there going to be a big correction going on when it comes to, these properties and the values that we're currently seeing in El Paso County?
I don't see a big correction coming. What I do see is things slowing down. As you know, a couple days ago, the Feds increased the interest rates, by 0.25%, and I see them doing that once again. And that may slow down things. Home building is up. We continually are setting records in regards to single family and commercial permits being pulled through the Pikes Peak Regional Building Department. So as we get more inventory and supply out there to fit the demand is, we no longer will get into these bidding wars and things like that. But as you can see, El Paso County is a great place to live, Andrew. And that's why we all live here. I've grown up here since, lived here since 1975. But, for those of us, those of everyone listening today who are out there on social media going, hey, this is a great place to live. Stop.
Hey, where else is a great place? Back in Texas. Back in California.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks for getting Whataburger and In-N-Out here, but you can go back now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And we're talking a lot about, kind of that big growth. We mentioned a little bit that there are ways to go through and maybe, appeal those property values if you say, hey, man, I get it's a hot market, but man, this is a little crazy. Or as you mentioned, there's Mother Nature involved as well. Talk a little bit about that process and how people can go and say, hey, Steve, I think the numbers might just be a little off.
Not everybody agrees with Steve Schleicher, their county assessor, and you have the right to appeal your property. You know your property way better than anybody in my office or even myself. Now, our property appeal period was from May 1 to June 1 of this last year. However, as I've been sharing with many in the community, if you did not appeal, you still have appeal rights. Mm-hmm. So you can appeal via an abatement. And I highly recommend is if you don't agree with the value, call my office. And let's take a look. And you can call my office directly at 719-520-6600. And we will take another look at it. But when you appeal your property, you're actually taking it from the mass appraisal perspective. And you are asking my office and my staff, can you guys look at my home one-on-one?
Yeah.
And see if we can make some adjustments. The thing is, at my office, you're going to get a live person. In addition to that, is if you want to speak to your county assessor, me, mm-hmm. here's my direct number, 719-520-6527. Let's take a look at it.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk much more about the county assessor's office, things that you may not know. Obviously, you know, it's kind of a setup, you know, get the value going on, then you hand it off to the treasurer, who really can be the bad guy for this. But we're going to talk more about how that all works and what might be coming down the pipeline to help property owners, not only in El Paso County, but throughout the state. That after a check of local and national headlines right here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers, joined by El Paso County Assessor Steve Schleicher. We're talking all things assessor's office. We've talked about property values, how that's been, you know, kind of ruled out, what that means for tax bills. And obviously, we know one thing that really impacted every level of everything that we're finally kind of coming out of a little bit 2 years later was COVID-19. And what impacts did COVID-19 have not only in the assessor's office, but when it comes to properties across El Paso County?
You know, Andrew, COVID had a huge impact. Keep in mind, for the 2021 reappraisal, the 24-month sales were from July 1 of 2018 through June 30th of 2020. And all of us got locked down, sent to our homes, and said, hey, you need to stay in place March of 2020. So I only had 3 months of data to figure out what kind of effect COVID had on either non-residential or residential properties. From the data that I have been looking at over the last 2.5 years, I have not seen an effect on the single-family residential properties or multifamily properties. However, I am seeing effects on commercial properties. Sit-down restaurants, office buildings, because many office buildings now have vacancies where now their employees are continuing to work from home. What were the effects on gyms, which were some of the last ones to reopen? Movie theaters, bars, things like that. So these are folks that lost a significant amount of income. They are now dealing with, you know, concessions as far as getting people to come back in and lease up a space. But yeah. COVID has had a major impact on a lot of these properties, and we are looking at that. And I have been sitting down with many commercial property owners, many business owners. In fact, after we get done today, I have 2 meetings this afternoon with several business owners regarding their property.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier, you know, kind of the way that property taxes are calculated recently changed thanks to the repeal of the Gallagher Amendment. So kind of that balance or that shift is putting a lot more of that burden on commercial property owners. So let's talk a little bit about what that means and really what impact that's having on businesses, which, again, you know, a lot of times those prices just get passed along to the consumers.
It absolutely it does. You know, one of the things that I did, and sadly, and I'm not patting myself on the back, is I'm the only assessor in the state of Colorado that reduced business taxes due to COVID. And that was on business personal property, which I'm not a fan of. And many folks aren't aware is that business personal property is our business owners pay a tax on the furniture, fixtures, and equipment associated with the business. So if you go into Chick-fil-A, they're paying it on their tables, their chairs, their booths, the kitchen equipment, the signage, drive-through equipment. So they have to pay a tax on that. But when they're shut down, there's absolutely no way you can tell me that that equipment was worth more at the time during COVID than prior to COVID. So I reduced values, you know, upwards of 35% and reduced their tax bills by that. And I did that all across the board in El Paso County. I know the state basically defined who was essential and not essential. I don't think that's the duty of your county assessor. And I feel every business in El Paso County is essential, so I did it across the board as far as a tax cut, and I did that for tax year 2020 and also 2021. So, you know, reducing the business personal property taxes, but yes, when you look at the assessment rates for single family being 7.15% and then being 29% for business owners, they are paying quadruple the amount of taxes for the same services we all get from government.
Yeah, and is the way that those taxes and the assessments is, you mentioned the business property tax and, you know, things like that. What else is different as far as determining that tax value for businesses? Because you can't just look at like an open market or even, you know, comparable sales like you do when you at least start that process on the personal property.
Andrew, Man, you're going to find yourself working in the assessor's office. You keep asking great questions like that.
Don't put that evil on me, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. But I will share is, as a licensed appraiser here in the state of Colorado, you're allowed three approaches to value, which are cost, market, and income. Mm-hmm. And, you know, earlier I shared with you, as per our Tabor Amendment, I can only use the sales comparison market approach for single family and multifamily properties. But for vacant land and commercial properties, I can use cost, market, and income. So when you're sitting here taking a look, is like, what is the market of these properties? What's the market of restaurants? There is no way you're going to tell me somebody, as we're coming out of COVID, that a restaurant could have sold a year ago much higher than what they could have sold for it in March as we were getting locked down. Just a number of different things, but we look at income. You know, what is loss of revenue? But what we have to separate is business income from real estate income. There is a major mm-hmm. difference there. But absolutely, I've been sitting down with many, many folks, and like I said, in appealing their value, because these people still have appeal rights, and it's taken them time to collect that data to bring to my office.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen, you know, record, you know, tax revenues coming in. Luckily, you know, El Paso County, Colorado Springs have had, you know, really good recoveries economically from COVID-19. But as you mentioned, there's still, you know, a lot of people that are still hurting, a lot of those businesses that are seeing, you know, very, you know, revenue dependent businesses just trying to keep up, and now seeing those assessed values go up, things like that. So it definitely is something that is going to be with us for a while. And yet we're still, you know, trying to pretend as if nothing ever happened.
Yeah. Andrew, I agree with that. You know, sadly, you know, what I'm getting the data is we lost a lot of mom and pop mom and pop businesses through COVID because they just could not function. And right now what's happening is, as people are reopening and getting back to business, is finding the labor.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, right now, many businesses are not operating at 100% what they were doing in March of 2020. They just cannot find the labor. You actually can go up to businesses today, restaurants in particular, saying we are closed Monday and Tuesday. And the reason why is they just don't have the workforce.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And, you know, when you talk about kind of seeing almost a shift in as far as the business ownership, seeing a lot less, you know, mom and pops, or, you know, fewer of them than before. But yeah, we've got so many big multinational companies coming in here. Does that really change, you know, kind of what happens when it comes to that business taxation, the property valuation, when we see, you know, these mega campuses for, you know, your Amazon, things like that being built here in El Paso County?
It does. But I will tell you, I actually pushed and supported a bill that got passed late last legislative session. And what that is, you know, as I mentioned, I'm not a fan of business personal property tax, because I think that's double taxation. When somebody buys their business equipment, they're paying a sales tax on it, and now they're paying a yearly personal property tax. But the bill that I supported was, if your value, actual value from the assessor's office on your business equipment was $7,900 or less, you were tax exempt. You didn't have to pay business personal property taxes. We pushed that up to $50,000. This has taken care of nearly 95% of all small business owners who are now exempt from having to pay a personal property tax. So they're getting a tax cut. We need to take care of the small mom and pops.
Absolutely. And then there's a number of other things going on in Denver in the legislature, looking at some bills to kind of help find that relief. We're going to talk about some bills and what that could mean for the tax burdens here across Colorado as we continue here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio, joined this hour by Steve Schleicher, the El Paso County Assessor. You know, we talked a lot about how there's some things going on up in Denver, you know, that decorative building with that gold top in downtown that likes to come together every couple years. We can do something better. We can do something different.
Yep.
And there's a lot of bills going on, a lot of legislation being pushed now to really change what's happening, especially when it comes to property taxes and taxation here in Colorado.
You know, and Andrew, there are, in fact, there's actual legislation being pushed in regards to how to help, you know, taxpayers here in the state of Colorado. Good legislation, bad legislation. And what I want to talk about are things that I am supporting.
Okay.
Of course, I'm supporting the personal property bill of raising the exemption level to $50,000. We got that passed, so I was a big supporter of that. One bill I'm also a supporter of are our manufactured mobile homes. You know, mobile homes out there, right now there's a bill going through, is if the actual value is $7,000 or less, or the assessed value, mm-hmm. $2,000 or less, is there going to be considered tax exempt? There is a big reason why I support this. Even though we all have to, you know, look at, you know, being fair and equitably valued and taxed, is when your assessed value is $2,000 or less, you are looking at a tax bill of about $5 or $6. It's actually costing the taxpayers more money to print that tax bill, put it in an envelope, and mail it. The other thing is, a lot of times, these are single parents.
Mm-hmm.
These are folks that are just like, you know, one paycheck away from being homeless. And what happens is, if they are not able to pay that tax bill, by statute, then our county treasurer has to take that property to tax sale. They go through advertising, and they also go through a distraint warrant process through our, you know, per our statutes. That is an additional $60 to $70 of fees added on to that. So here's what you look at. Somebody that can't pay $6, they're going payday to payday, to now you're adding all these government fees that you know they can't pay and the possibility of them losing their home. Absolutely not. So what we're looking at is actually exempting those properties. The other thing I will share and also update our community quite often is we probably as voters will be looking at, if passed by the legislators, to put onto the ballot a brand new property tax policy that's been introduced here up at our legislature. And I feel this does need to go to the voters. One of which is, it's pretty similar to Prop 13 in California.
Okay.
The difference being is there's a little bit of twist to it. You know, what they would look at is, once you buy your home, the value of your home would only change per the Consumer Price Index. The max it can go up each year is 3%. So instead of, you know, value increases, what I'm seeing in markets of seeing, you know, between 15-16% a year because of what the sales are doing, is you're looking at a max increase of 3%. So it will basically really limit the growth of taxes. But we already have a thing in place here in Colorado that's called Tabor that does that. But, you know, the concern that I have with Prop 13 is, will that limit people from buying and selling their property? Because once you sell and buy another property, you're going to be paying taxes on a brand new value. So yeah, there's concerns that I have there that I'm diving into, but I really want to educate the public on this and get out there and just inform them of what it is, because this is going to be coming down. It's going to be a topic of conversation.
Yeah, and you know, when you talk about a proposal like that, we're already seeing, you know, such a kind of hot competitive market here in El Paso County. You know, we're talking about appraisal gaps, people coming with, you know, $60,000, $70,000, maybe $80,000 additional money on top of that. So we're already paying, you know, record high prices, and then you're essentially locking in that level versus, you know, the current system now where it is reassessed. Kind of look at what's happening right now versus that, instead of just saying, hey, you know, I had to buy during the height of the market, now I'm carrying that tax bill with me forever and maybe, you know, only locked by 3%, but that still doesn't say that it'll go below that. It's just saying, hey, you're going to be paying taxation on record high as long as it can, versus the current system where it is a little bit more kind of reflective of what's happening in the community, right?
I could not agree with you more, which is why I think we need to sit there and eat this elephant one bite at a time. As an analogy, is we actually need to sit there and look at the folks that have been buying in this market for the last mm-hmm. 5-6 years. And again, as I mentioned earlier in your show, is I feel people are paying taxes on not the true value of that property. And what we need to look at is, I feel, to include my records,
yeah,
need adjusted. And what I mean by that is, what is actually on the warranty deed that's being filed with the clerk and recorder's office, which then flows into my office, is not the true value. We need to look at the true value as of what the appraisal was when they closed on that home.
Mm-hmm.
And those values are different. And so I actually feel that we need an adjustment, and part of that is working with legislators and also with the Colorado Assessor Association to make those adjustments, because it would be truly unfair, and is unfair now, that these folks are paying taxes on, you know, their bidding prices.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, it needs to be addressed. You know, obviously you mentioned one thing that also plays a role into this that, you know, California didn't see with their Prop 13 is Tabor. I know we're running out of time to really explain such a complicated thing, but we've talked about
yes.
it so long. But I do feel as if a lot of people, you know, we have a very transitory market, don't exactly understand what Tabor is. So what is that kind of 30-second, maybe 60-second rundown of Tabor, the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, that really is playing a role with all of this?
Absolutely. Tabor plays a major role. It is one of our most significant constitutional amendments that was voted in 1992. But what it basically does is simply it limits government. It also basically says is government cannot say we want a tax increase. We, the voters, we, the people of the state of Colorado, get to say if this entity gets a tax increase or not. So it's pretty significant and plays a major, major role in when we're sitting here talking about tax increases and things like that.
Yeah, one of the things, you know, we'd mentioned kind of during the break is, you know, government entities due to Tabor don't exactly have a rainy day fund, things like that. So it really puts into question, you know, kind of those planning efforts because there's just that fixed limit. So it's got to come from somewhere and it puts, you know, positions of having to, you know, pay Peter to rob Paul and vice versa. You know, just as the idea of trying to save money for the taxpayers, which it may or may not in the long run.
Yeah. And what makes us unique, though, is when we're sitting here looking at El Paso County, is most counties only have one school district.
Mm-hmm.
El Paso County's got 17 different school districts. And each one of those districts go to their voters asking for either mill levy increases, mill levy overrides, or bond measures. And so, you know, consistently you see that on the ballot. But we are pretty unique in that fact where, you know, like Douglas County has one school district. Most counties have that, but El Paso County has 17 different school districts where they reach out to the voters residing within their district boundary for additional monies. We also have a lot of different fire districts,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of different water districts. In fact, we got over 300 different taxing entities in El Paso County where they have the opportunity to go to the ballot and ask the voters for additional monies for public safety, more deputies, you know, just more firefighters, things like that, but it has to go to the ballot.
Yeah, it's definitely a big piece of the puzzle. There's so much we could talk about. We'll have to have you on again to talk all things county government, the property taxes, things like that. Steve, again, you mentioned, you know, you're very transparent, open. If anyone has more questions about this, maybe something got spurred up, how's the best way to contact you in your office?
So call me directly. My office number is 719-520-6527. My cell phone number is 719-502-1534. And Andrew, I just got a text asking me if you're going to take me up on my job offer. And I just told him, you're like, no way.
Yeah. As soon as you mentioned, you know, more tax offices and, you know, tax collecting entities than any other county, I mean, I'm perfectly happy right here on KRDO.
Absolutely. I appreciate the invite and meeting with you this morning, man.
No problem. Thank you so much, Steve. Steve Slyker, El Paso County Assessor. That does it here on The Extra. We have the Tom Martino Show still ahead right here on KRDO News Radio.